Good evening, everybody. This is Patricia Corey, Beyond the Matrix. Sorry we're a little bit late, but we've got some problems streaming out or getting the phones lined up. So please bear with us. We've got a very important guest on this evening, Dr. Fred A. Bauman, Jr., M.D. He's a neurologist and a pediatric neurologist, and he's going to be talking about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which you all know is something that I'm extremely concerned about. So we're trying to get him on the line. Meanwhile, I've got a few things to talk about that are quite exciting. Many of us are exchanging emails about the program yesterday. Larry King Live did a show about UFOs and the information that's coming out on that. And it looks like the mainstream is going to start saying, looks like we might be having contact sooner than we think. There's going to be a meeting tomorrow. Let's see, how is this organized? Former Arizona Governor Fife Symington moderates a panel of former high-ranking government, aviation, and military officials from seven countries to discuss close encounters of what they still describe as unidentified flying objects. This will be representatives from France, England, Belgium, Chile, Peru, Iran, and representatives from the U.S. who are calling on the U.S. government to join in an international dialogue and reopen the ancient investigation, which was shut down over 30 years ago by the Air Force, into this phenomenon. So pay attention. It looks like our first messages are going to be those of fear, but we know how that works. So pay attention. Keep your eye on this phenomenon. As you know, the books talk about contact being imminent, and I really believe this is some of the most important news coming out to us. How are we doing on Dr. Bauman? Any hope to get through? We've got a lot of storms here in Italy and all around the world, so we've got some problems with the lines, as I said. And one more bit of news that I want to share with you regarding my sacred journeys is that the information for Peru is now ready to come out. You will have it on the web, on my website at www.syrianrevelations.net by the 19th. So it's going to be first come, first serve. So be sure to pay attention to the website. All right, well, while I'm waiting for the doctor, I would like to talk to you a little bit about what the show is about tonight. Dr. Bauman has been an adult and child neurologist in private practice for 35 years. So we're talking to a qualified, absolutely trained medical professional speaking out tonight. Hopefully, if we can get him on the line. It is his belief that through his medical... Have we got him?
Yes, Pat.
Hi, Dr. Bauman. Sorry we had so much trouble getting through to you. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
It's my pleasure and privilege.
I was just introducing you, actually, so your timing is perfect. I was talking about how your obvious qualifications and how your background has led you to investigate the current phenomenon of ADHD as it's been described by Big Pharma and the medical profession now, who are more than happy to medicate the children with diseases that we may not really be able to call diseases. So I would love for you to just give us an overall introduction to this phenomenon. And before you do that, I want to also announce that your book is out. It's entitled The ADHD Fraud, How Psychiatry Makes Patients Out of Normal Children by Fred A. Bauman, Jr., MD. And you can find out more about this book and how to order it from traffordpublishing.com or from I'll call you Fred as we agreed, Fred Bauman's website at ADHDfraud.com. So let's talk about this supposed disease. Can you give us your initial insights into how this has come about?
Well, Pat, remarkably, there was no such thing as ADHD when I commenced practice back in 1964. They were beginning to speak of hyperactivity and of another name that was used was minimal brain damage or minimal brain dysfunction. And it was initially at a 1970 hearing in our U.S. Congress that American psychiatrists gave testimony that so-called hyperactivity or minimal brain damage was an actual brain disease. And I, as a neurologist in practice, was barely aware of the phenomenon, and I did not see this epidemic being invented. And it was said at the time of that hearing that there were an estimated 150,000 cases in the United States, not very many. That number has escalated to between somewhere close to 6 million in the United States, if you can imagine.
Alone,
the
United States alone?
In the United States alone. We have roughly 52 or 53 million children enrolled in our public schools, and of them, 6 million children, somewhere close to 8%, 7 to 8%, are said to have
10%.
This. Are said to have this entity. And increasingly, children in the United States are being diagnosed with other so-called mental illnesses, most common among them, so-called bipolar disorder, such that the total figure of children in U.S. public schools on one or more psychiatric medications is thought to be in the vicinity of 10 million, roughly one out of every five school children in the country. And mind you, these are children who, when they went down the schoolhouse path to begin what we here call kindergarten or to begin school, were considered by their parents to be entirely normal. They end up getting these labels, thanks be in large measure to school teachers with no credentials. So here we have an epidemic today of so-called ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that is the most common childhood diagnosis or the most common childhood disease. The only problem with calling it the most common childhood disease is that it's not a disease at all.
Right. Can you please describe for the audience? Okay, you're talking about ADHD. I'm sure a lot of people don't exactly know what are the symptoms or what is this disease that is being diagnosed by teachers and high school, school psychologists. So could you just tell us briefly, what exactly is this so-called disorder, and what are the symptoms of this disorder?
Well, first let me explain to you, your audience, what a disease is. When you go to a physician as a patient or with your child or elder parent as a patient, there may be subjective complaints or symptoms such as sleeplessness or stomach aches or nervousness, and those are subjective symptoms. It takes the finding on an examination or on a test or x-ray of some objective physical abnormality for a disease to be present. The physical abnormality is the disease. So that's the responsibility of every physician to determine, is there a physical disease or isn't there? And in those terms, so-called attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, there are no physical findings on a physical examination. There are no findings on a laboratory test of the urine or blood or on any kind of X-ray. Therefore, it's not a disease. Therefore, no so-called mental illness, such as bipolar or obsessive-compulsive disorder, none of these things are actual diseases.
So why are the doctors giving parents the mandate to medicate their children?
Well, it's all commenced here in the United States, I'm sorry to say, but beginning again back as far as the 60s with this announcement in 1970 that such things were diseases, psychiatry hatched a marketplace plan in collaboration or collusion with the pharmaceutical industry. This plan was simply to call every emotional and emotional problem or every emotional pain and every behavioral problem a disease in order to more easily be able to make a case for giving medical treatment pills. And consequently, this is when psychiatry and the pharmaceutical industry began calling patients that misbehaved, began speaking of them as having a chemical imbalance of the brain.
Right.
And likewise, they speak of every so-called mental problem, every emotional and behavioral problem, as a chemical imbalance of the brain, or as being due to a chemical imbalance of the brain. Then they say that when they give the child Ritalin, or they give the child Adderall, or some such amphetamine, that this is a chemical balancer. This is going to fix the chemical imbalance of the brain. Likewise, they say that the antipsychotic drug Thorazine or the antipsychotic drug Seroquel is going to balance the chemical imbalance in schizophrenia, which has likewise never been proven to exist.
So are you saying that the diagnosis of chemical imbalance is simply a fraudulent claim?
It's totally fraudulent. I mean, that, the first representations regarding ADHD were back in 1970. That's 37 years ago. So for 37 years, they've been, and if you read the drug insert or the description of say Ritalin in the physician's desk reference or the little handout you get that comes with the package of pills that is the information you need in order to give so-called informed consent, you will find in every instance that psychiatric drugs say they are for the treatment of imbalanced chemicals of the brain or a chemical imbalance of the brain.
Right.
And there has never been proof of even a single chemical imbalance of the brain. So it's been a fraud approaching 40 years now, and it is, and this is why I speak of it, Pat, as a total 100% fraud, because there's not a single psychiatric diagnosis or a single psychiatric entity in their manual of mental illnesses that has been proven to be a true chemical or physical abnormality, such as there is, for instance, in diabetes or in the arthritis that goes with gout, gouty arthritis, where the uric acid levels in the body are elevated, or in genetically determined phenylketonuria, which is encountered in 1 in 10,000 newborns, where there is a true chemical imbalance that damages the brain. Unless the diagnosis is made in the newborn nursery and a special diet is instituted.
Sure.
So psychiatry's claims are a total fraud.
So let me ask you then, because we hear, at least I follow this matter quite closely, and I have heard about situations where parents have been more or less ordered to medicate the child, or in one case, I even heard in the States that a mother was threatened with jail time if she did not follow the school's and the doctor's demands, because it's not even a recommendation at this point,
right,
to medicate her child. And the case apparently was, and you probably know more details, that she was planning to leave the country to save her child from being medicated. Do you know this story?
Yes, this at least sounds like the story of Diane Booth.
That's right.
Who is a lady from Northern California who she's a single mother, or was a single mother at the time this happened. She was a legal secretary, a very articulate, learned lady. When her son was sent home with a message suggesting that he had so-called ADHD and he needed to be on Ritalin, the usual drug for it at that time, she dismissed it, not believing that such a disease existed, and much to her shock and surprise, a short few days later, so-called Child Protective Services, a government agency, arrived at her door with police personnel, and they took her,
wow,
her 6-year-old child away, her only son, only child, Vincent. And Vincent was shortly thereafter made a ward of the court. Diane herself was charged with medical negligence for her refusal to accept the diagnosis and give the what the government was saying and the schools were saying was the appropriate drug. And Diane, I'll try to make this story short, but she was visiting with her son at the psychiatric institution. She noticed that he had bruises about his face and body. She made a decision to flee with him to Canada, and she did so.
How'd she get him out?
Yes.
How did she get him out of the psychic institute?
She just fled from the institution at a visitation. She wasn't going. Wasn't supposed to take him off the grounds, but she did, and mm-hmm. She then became a fugitive. Having kidnapped a child who was a ward of the state, regardless of the fact that the child was her own biological child. But she got to Canada with him, but she was then caught. The warrant was out for her arrest internationally, and she was caught in a traffic stop. The son, Vincent, was brought back to that same institution, almost a year later, Diane tried to come back into the U.S., she was arrested and jailed, and she has not seen her son in, I think it's going on 7 years. He's been in a psychiatric facility on multiple drugs.
I just want you to really listen closely here, because this is not just hearsay, it's not a story on the net. This is a true story being reported to you by a medical physician, and you have to know about this because you have children, and believe it or not, it could happen to you. So,
doctor. And Pat, let me assure you and your audience, this is not a rarity. This is happening to parents in juvenile courts and in family courts that handle divorces. it's happening all the time that
psychologists... So it's either medicate your children based on a school teacher, psychiatrist recommendation to a doctor, or face potential legal action against you.
Yes, yes. And I might add, this would not be happening here in the United States if the pharmaceutical industry did not have full cooperation of our lawmakers, of members of our House, U.S. House of Representatives, and of our U.S. Senate, and of the White House, the current occupant of the White House, the current President of the United States, George Bush, are very much under sway of the pharmaceutical industry. I think the last number I heard is that there are 4 pharmaceutical company industry lobbyists for every elected representative in the U.S. government, and that they are regularly legislating, passing laws that urge the more frequent diagnosis and treatment of these, quote, diseases. And the language of the laws they are passing defines these non-entities as diseases.
We're talking about here basically being forced into being global governments forcing people to medicate first their children, then themselves, because obviously this is not limited to children alone.
No, it's not just telling a patient that a son or themselves or a parent has a chemical imbalance of the brain, that's a lie, total lie. Violates every person's right to informed consent, a fundamental right in any democracy such as Italy or such as the U.S., but it doesn't stop at the lie, because then there is the coercion, and the coercion is orchestrated within the public schools of this country. It's also it then includes local courts and child protective services and so on. And it so we are when you consider that we have perhaps 10 million, 20% of all of our school children in the United States on psychiatric medications, a lot of them as a result of coercion and violation of fundamental rights. And in our foster care institutions and foster care homes, this is another big government program supposedly to take care of the unfortunate foster children of the country. You wouldn't think foster kids represent a medical population, and yet between 50% and 70% of kids in foster care are on psychiatric medications for bogus psychiatric diagnoses.
Could you repeat those figures?
50 to 70%?
More than
half of all kids in foster care in the United States are being drugged for profit only. They are not being drugged for any diagnosable disease. They are being drugged because the courts are they are wards of the courts, and judges across the country are responsible for signing off on orders to actually drug between 50% and 70% of these children in foster care.
Wow, you get the picture, folks.
Yeah.
You're listening to Dr. Fred Bauman, MD, a neurologist with a specialization in pediatric neurology, and his book is The ADHD Fraud. And I'm going to open up for calls pretty soon, but I don't want to interrupt the doctor yet because we're just getting on a roll here. But if you are planning to call in, get to the site bbsradio.com and check on streaming 2. I think I might be streaming on 1 and 2, but definitely check on the site to get the phone numbers to call in with your questions, because this is a rare opportunity to speak to a man who dares to, a doctor who dares to speak out. In fact, my next question for you, Fred, is it must make you a little nervous occasionally coming up against Big Pharma and the medical profession, and I want to celebrate the fact that you are a warrior for truth. That's what my show is about, and it's an honor to have you with us.
Well,
so let's get back
you,
to this. I mean, it's such an intense statement to say that there is no chemical imbalance and that it's all a fraud, because I personally know a number of people who have someone in the family dealing with this situation, believing, although questioning, believing that this is a real situation and trying to figure out what to do about medication.
You know, I just received... I think about 10 days ago, a most amazing email from an anguished mother. She stated that her son, when he was small and was on the go all the time, she just couldn't deal with him. He was so active. And so at age 3 and a half, this mother and family was a party to allowing an ADHD diagnosis to be appended to her child, the label that always comes with Ritalin or with Adderall, which is pure amphetamine, just as dangerous and addictive as if you bought it on a street corner from someone not in a white coat. And now her son is 11 years of age, and he used to have a very precise memory. And he is aware now that he can't remember things very well. And he is saying to his mother and father that his brain is like cheese. This is his word. His brain is like cheese, and he is blaming his parents for having put him on the drug. And tragically, the parents were deceived. Every single psychiatric drug, like every drug we use in medicine, is a foreign compound. That is, it's foreign to the body. It wasn't made in the body for the body. And every chemical compound that is put into the body by ingestion or injection is a poison.
Right, but what do you do when you're faced, when we're looking at a situation where the government is basically telling you by gunpoint, and I'm, of course, using a metaphor here, you either medicate your kids or you go to jail. I mean, what do you suggest?
Well, more often the kids are removed, are taken from the parents. The court is made the parent. The court becomes the parent. You lose your child, and your child is
That's probably worse than going to jail.
Kidnapped from you. In the case of Diane Booth, she served jail time because she dared to kidnap her own biological child.
That's just
Is she now back with the child? Huh?
Is she ever going to get her child back?
I don't think until he ages out, I don't think she has any prospects of seeing him until he's 18.
And by then his brain will be more than cheese, right?
And it's been multiple drugs the whole time he's been.
So basically what we're saying is you have to be in a behavioral mode where you're a good little robot, you sit in your chair, you listen to the teacher, and hopefully you get by education without getting taken away from your parents. I mean, this is just really what we're talking about in the new world, aren't we?
Yeah, this is what's happening here in the United States. And if people don't realize that this is totally contrary to any sort of democratic principle, they're asleep. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't
describe democracy as I know it. Yeah.
Or at least as we idealize it to be.
Yes, and when it's the government in partnership to lie and to coerce, to generate money which then comes around to fuel the political system that has become so obscenely expensive, then you don't have anything that I think can be called a democracy anymore.
Well, it's very interesting to have it coming from your mouth, because I've certainly been speaking this most of my life and had to deal with a lot of raised eyes, and now is the time that people get really sharp, really fast, and understand what's being perpetrated here, because it's your children. And not only, let's talk about the, I'm interested also in the, what's happening with adults. You talk about the new neuroleptics.
Yeah, the neuroleptic drugs, or they are antipsychotic,
Oh, can I interrupt you a moment? We have a caller on the line.
Sure.
Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Jackie from Texas.
Jackie?
Yes.
Yeah, what's your question, Jackie? Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to ask the good doctor, I'm about to get involved in foster care for the first time, and
mm-hmm.
I am an educator. I teach fifth grade science, and I am appalled by what I'm hearing. I knew that there was a large percentage of students, children, who are having to take medication, but I had no, I mean, I'm just appalled by the numbers. I had no
What's
idea.
What's your question?
My question is, once I have a child and I perceive that there may be a wrong diagnosis, how do I tell? And what measures can I take? I mean, is there any measures that I can take to get them off the medication or to try it? Because I'm really big into natural foods, natural herbs, all natural things. And I'm wondering, do I have...
So you're asking, as a foster caregiver,
yes.
What
yes.
is your what can you do to get a child who's a drug on drugs off?
Right. I mean, what can I do? I mean, is there
doctor?
Anything
can you hear the question?
My hands tired.
Yes, I hear. I think Jackie, that you are going to find you're just one small part of a bigger system in which
right.
this horrendous drugging has become standard practice.
Right.
I think it was. I think I saw a survey from. From Texas of foster care, frequency of drugging in foster care, and I think it was from Texas, and I think, and most of those kids are on Medicaid, and I think the figure was something like 73% of the 500, of the sample of 500 were on a psychiatric drug or several drugs. And psychiatrists wander into foster care facilities and they flip through charts and they don't much examine the children, and then they start scribbling diagnoses. And I suspect you're going to urge you to get involved and try to make a difference, but what I'm saying is I think you're going to run into a system that you may not be able to control at all. But I wish you,
Jackie, I think one thing that's important is for you to investigate, find out more information, and spread the word, talk to parents, help people understand what's happening.
Right. Okay, I will do that. I mean, I'll send out this information. I mean, make sure that people know that this is out there. People don't know.
Thank
people
you for listening in. Please keep listening. We've got many other topics that you're going to want to hear about, and tell your friends. And don't forget the book. And you can also, by going to the doctor's site, you can also, I think you can contact him. So it's ADHDfraud.com. Okay? Thanks for calling, Jackie.
Jackie, one other thing.
We have another caller, doctor.
Sure.
Yes, who's calling?
I'm a child protective worker in New York. And
hello, what's your name?
It's Bruce Stefik.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Patricia. I've read all your books. Big fan.
Thank you.
I run into the type of situation that you're describing pretty much on a monthly basis. What strikes me is a bit odd, though, is in the example that the doctor referred to where the woman's child was taken away pretty much at gunpoint by the police,
yes.
We normally don't, that's not considered imminent risk to the child. So normally that would not eventuate in any sort of removal. If a parent was not compliant with the current medical mores, you would either indicate the case or take it to family court. Now, I agree, once it's in family court, the stuff that the doctor is describing is absolutely valid. And it's real unfortunate. For myself, I refuse to ever indicate a parent who doesn't allow their child to be medicated. I mean, I just won't go there. And the other thing
I'm really...
But
what's the normal process? When you say you're a child... I'm sorry, what is your position, child?
I'm a child protective services worker.
Protective services, okay. So what is the... How do you protect the child? How do you protect a parent who does not want to medicate their child?
Well, our first goal is child safety. However, since I'm on the same page as you guys with this particular issue, what I try and do is offer the parents some education. In particular, the book that Dr. Bauman has on his website about the fraud with this stuff would be an excellent resource for these people. The thing is, if it does go to court, not one of my cases, because I don't take these people to court for that issue. We have latitude as individual caseworkers as to how we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wide scope for how you want to handle these things. So in my case...
Do you have a question for the doctor?
No, actually, I just wanted to give you a CPS perspective on this, because I don't think that what you guys were saying is... It's not quite the whole picture. I do think that...
Well, I think it may not be the picture everywhere, but what I described to you about the Diane Booth case was the picture in San Jose, California, and in the court of Judge Leonard Edwards. They swooped in after one encounter with the mother and the child and took the child, and the court then took the child. So
that's bizarre. That's bizarre.
I'm sure that there is some variability in how
it's being handled.
Dictatorial.
Bruce, I want to thank you for having that balance and that humanitarian approach, and please keep working to get the information out to people. I know that part of the doctor's Dr. Bauman's book is available through email or through the electronic, right, Doc?
There are electronic versions of it available.
Yeah, so maybe you can help get some of this information out to people.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get it in the hands of a couple of the family court judges who I know very well from my job, and
mm-hmm.
we can see where it goes from there.
Great,
Bruce. I think, Bruce, that one thing that cannot be argued with is the 50% to 70% frequency of psychiatric drugging in foster care all across the United States.
I'm a foster parent myself, and our child is on multiple medications, and we've been trying to wean her off gradually. But she experienced some horrific abuse when she was a child.
Yeah.
And whenever we try and lower the dosages, through her psychiatrist, you get some real behavior problems that start to emerge. And I realize this whole issue is about basically behavior management at the school level. It certainly isn't a child welfare issue in that the child's welfare is not what the government's looking to protect here with this stuff. It's just behavioral management. But I do understand that perspective as well. My wife's a special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the medical...
Yeah, but we're talking here about... Children who may not necessarily, it's one thing to talk, we're talking about young children, 3.5-year-old children who have been determined as behavioral problems and are diagnosed with this syndrome as early as 3.5 years old.
Yeah,
I know, and that's just insane.
Yeah, and
it is insane.
Regarding your own child, I would just add that there is no actual disease to begin with. We've already established that. But every psychiatric drug is a systemic poison that is damaging the brain and body every day the child is on it. So every such drug should be weaned as soon as is possible. Just about all of the psychiatric drugs can be gradually weaned. Some have to be cut down ever so gradually, like getting a liquid form and just a drop or two less every other day or something like that. But every effort should be made to get kids off these drugs before.
Yeah, and I'd like to intervene here and also say that,
yeah,
you know, let's not medicate the children so quickly. At 3.5 years old, is psychotic medication the only solution to a child who's got behavioral, and maybe they're not behavioral problems. Let's look at the fact that these children are sitting in front of TV and computer screens at that age,
right,
playing these outrageous war games, blowing their minds on these electronic input, and maybe these are environmental problems as well.
Well, they are in that there are no diseases identified. It can only be assumed that this is the latitude of behavior in normal children, and parents have the duty to shape that behavior. It's not there being no disease, there is no justification to give medications. Regarding medications and their dangers, let me just tell you and your audience that there are untold numbers of deaths occurring across the United States from all psychiatric medications. From the ADHD medication Ritalin or methylphenidate, for the decade 1990 to 2000, there were 186 deaths attributed to that drug, reported to our Food and Drug Administration. Now, 186 doesn't sound like much, but this is a voluntary, mainly a voluntary physician reporting system, and the FDA itself confesses that 186 may represent just 1% of the actual number of deaths. 186 times 100 is 186,000. So,
Bruce, are you still on?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, we're having a real conference call.
And the antipsychotic drugs that are now being given in such a cavalier way by psychiatrists to kids for ADHD and for so-called bipolar and for no good reason under the sun, these drugs are much more lethal and dangerous than the psychostimulants customarily used for ADHD. So,
I think there's another thing we really need to focus on here, and that is that a lot of parents are having this thrown at them when they don't even recognize that there is a problem, or any problem more than in the old days it was he's being naughty, or he's being a pain. Now he's being diagnosed and medicated by the schools. And this, to me, is absolutely unacceptable, that a government entity tells you what you have to do about your child without any it's not like you're seeing a problem and you're asking a doctor. You're getting a note coming home saying you must medicate your child. Is this right, doctor?
Yes, this is what's happening.
This is unacceptable.
The educators, the public school educators of the United States have been thoroughly indoctrinated to be fingering kids for these diagnoses, and when teachers don't come flat out and mention a diagnosis by name or mention a drug by name, and believe me, they do that often enough, they lean on the parents to get your kid to a doctor. Your kid's got a medical issue. That, by the way, is a medical referral, and they don't have any more medical smarts or education than the parents with which to know when a medical intervention is necessary.
We do need to interject here that we do know that there is a world of wonderful teachers out there, and we're not suggesting that everybody that's in the profession is evil Knievel.
The prevalence of this misguided involvement in this totally unwarranted drugging of our children, the numbers of educators involved in this is a disgrace to the teaching profession. But it comes people from CHAD, children and adults with attention deficit disorders, an ADHD front group of Novartis and of the pharmaceutical industry. Those people were found in-house at the U.S. Department of Education indoctrinating teachers and producing video productions about ADHD and how to diagnose it.
I have to interrupt you and ask you a question.
Sure.
What is the option? I mean, I have no children, and if I did and I was listening to this program, I would be just completely freaked out. So I always try to close my shows with, and I always try to work for finding a positive vein to take this kind of information, this vexing information, into a positive light. Now, what are the rights of parents to do, first of all, homeschooling in regard to this intervention from the government? Is this a solution for people? Can they take, if they've been diagnosed, can they take their children out of school and home teach them?
Yes, they can. There are certain hoops that the government authorities make them jump through to be sure that they are qualified and provide basic educational necessities. But yes,
but they don't have to. They can't be forced to give the children the medication.
They can homeschool and steer their kids free of diagnosis that has become so common in public schools. I often tell parents to interview parochial schools and private schools to be sure before making that sort of a move that those schools don't likewise believe in the psychiatric disease model. Many private school and parochial school systems do also go along with the psychiatric drugging model. But sad to say, I commonly advise parents to homeschool, to look for the alternatives of homeschooling, private or parochial schools.
And what other suggestions do you have for parents facing?
Well, what I tell all parents is that the first thing I tell them is that ADHD is not a disease. Your child is normal. Therefore, in that your child is normal, there is no need for medical treatment of any kind. Your child is normal, meaning you, the parents, have full responsibility for the training and management of your child. And I think a lot of the parental concern comes, I mean, once they're told, gee, it's a chemical imbalance of the brain, I'm just a parent, I can't deal with that. But if they know their child is entirely normal and his challenging behaviors or struggling with math or struggling with reading is entirely normal, but it needs more parental effort or it needs maybe special reading instruction emphasizing phonics, then they know it's in the non-medical world and it's their responsibility.
For example, even not children, let's say older children or adults who have bought the concept of bipolar? I mean, you're out there saying that it doesn't exist, and these people, some people may be hearing you saying, this guy's out of his mind. We've heard it from five doctors. What do you tell these people?
Well, they'll hear it from five psychiatrists, but increasingly other medical practitioners like neurologists, pediatricians, family practitioners are finding the chemical imbalance model a great and easy way to make patients out of normal people. And
yes,
so your practice never dries up. Everyone that comes through the door gets a diagnosis.
The laugh is really a laugh of irony.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what's going on here. And the pediatricians of the United States and neurologists have become almost as bad as the psychiatrists at just getting out the ADHD stamp to begin with, and then a few months goes by, or they question that one, you stamp them with the oppositional defiant disorder, or you stamp them with conduct disorder, or you stamp them with
breathing
bipolar
disorder.
And if one drug doesn't work, you try another. And pretty soon there are side effects of drugs that you say, or that they will tell you, oh, this is the proof that you were sick all along, because now you're developing what looks like Parkinson's disease, which is a real side effect of antipsychotics. So now you've got a real disease, but they just tell you it's another psychiatric disease. And once once they've got their labels on you, and once they've got you on enough drugs, you are a psychiatric patient for life. So that's the other part of making patients out of normals. That's what's behind ADHD, the most common disease in the United States today. It's a total fraud, 100%.
People, listen carefully to this. Now more than ever, we have to be taking charge of our bodies, our souls, our spirit, and our physical well-being as much as we possibly can. And you're hearing from a highly qualified medical neurologist, expert in child neurology, Dr. Fred Bauman. I'm going to give you his book name again. It's The ADHD Fraud, How Psychiatry Makes Patients Out of Normal Children. The publisher is Trafford Publishing. I think you can go to traffordpublishing.com or do visit his site because it's full of information that you're going to want to read. As scary as it is, you need to know what's going on. Doctor, I've got a few more questions because we started late. We can run over a bit.
Sure.
Back to what people can do about this. What do you recommend as far as any kind of outreach from parents to the schools, PTA? What do you recommend? There's got to be a solution besides, one, letting them drug your child, or two, having to homeschool. What else can we do to protect the children?
I think that what I see in schools is that once some teacher has their sights set on a given child, they are going to increase the coercion of those parents to accept the diagnostic label once the label is applied, or even before it's applied, the coercion to see a medical professional. So I, you know, when people come to me and they say, well, the teacher has just started to tell us Johnny or Jane is not paying attention, I say it's time to get out of that school. It's time
I was
going
to ask you, are you available to people if they're starting to feel this kind of pressure? Do you have any kind of a hotline or organization that people can contact you?
I just find that I get emails from all over the U.S. and all parts of the world, and I try to read them all, and I try to respond to some of them, and that's the best I can do. So if people have
you're just one person.
Yeah.
One more question. It looks like we're going to be running out of time. About mental health screening, can you quickly tell us about the President's Commission on Mental Health Screening?
Well,
I said screaming, really is more appropriate.
Sure.
Is there any way to protect the? What is this program, and how can you protect your children against it?
Well, increasingly, the government and state governments are getting behind mental health screening, or so-called teen screen. And this is just another behavioral checklist. And there are many school districts in the country that without ever asking the parents, are shoving these behavioral checklists under the noses of our children. Sometimes the kids are no older than 8 or 9 years of age, and if the kid checks out 6 of 10, they may be told by a teacher or by someone who's been allowed into the schools without the parents' knowledge that in the case of Teresa Rhodes in Indiana, her daughter, 9-year-old daughter, was told that she had a severe mental illness. An adult telling a 9-year-old in those terms, she's got a severe mental illness. The child went home.
Her?
Huh?
Who was it? A representative from the screening committee?
From the company that taking the teen screen into school districts, and they were allowed into this school district without any word to the parents. And Teresa Rhodes is, I think, now in the process of suing the school district and this company, but Teen Screen was hatched by the Department of Psychiatry at Columbia University in New York. They took it to Tennessee to test it, and well over 50% of kids who took the test, lo and behold, had a severe mental illness and would have qualified to be referred for drugging. And so it's they're just not happy drugging only 20% of kids in the schools. They want 40, 50, 60% like
they
in foster care.
Folks,
and they are, by the way, they are going into our adult prisons, and they are going into juvenile detention, juvenile delinquent institutions, and giving all of them behavioral screening tests,
and giving them all of them
these, and over 50% in most penal institutions now are on multiple psychiatric drugs.
Doctor, I have to interrupt you. It breaks my heart because I have so much more I want to talk to you about, but I want to leave people with this thought. All right, we keep hearing about the war on terror, right? Before the war on terror, there was a war. The big war was the war on drugs. Read my lips. Get my message, yeah? We've been talking to Dr. Fred A. Bellman, Jr., M.D. Dr. Fred, that's what I'm going to call you, Dr. Fred. Will you come back on my show?
I'd be glad to come back on.
And I'm going to be in touch with you and see what I can do to get more of your information out to as many people as possible. You are a hero. I really respect you, and I thank you for the work that you're doing and the courage it takes to speak your truth. The name of the book is ADHD Fraud, Dr. Fred Bellman. Listen to this man. Look at your children. Take time to understand what's going on in the schools. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Pat.
I'll be talking to you soon, and I'll have you back
we'll hook
on.
Up again.
Like to-